You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based grief and loss podcast for Black women, where you will hear stories of miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and infertility to learn there is a testimony in tragedy. You will learn how to heal, gain clarity, find hope and peace, and turn your pain into your purpose after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee. Welcome to episode 88 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. March is Pregnancy After Loss Awareness Month. This month, we are discussing pregnancy after loss, but also loss of jobs, marriages, and family members as you grieve the loss of your angel. In today's episode, we have Shannon Duke. Shannon had her first miscarriage in June of 2012. They endured three more losses in December 2012, March 2014, and July 2014 before she had Mackenzie at 21 weeks in March 2016. She had to deliver her daughter Mackenzie due to severe preeclampsia, and then she had an additional miscarriage in December of 2016. In June of 2017, she lost her mom, and then a few months later in September, she suffered another miscarriage. All of those miscarriages that she had, she did not make it past 8 or 9 weeks, with the exception of Mackenzie when she made it to 21 weeks. She was able to have her rainbow baby. Her rainbow baby was born July 15, 2018, and she was her miracle baby. I am excited for you all to listen to and hear Shannon's story on how she grieved the loss of her mom while also grieving all of these recurrent pregnancy losses that she had and miscarriages that she had. Here is Shannon Duke.
Well, thank you, Shannon, for being on the podcast.
And thank you for having me, Miss Erica.
I'd like for you to start by sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do.
All right. Well, I always like to tell people that I'm just a little Tennessee girl. I've been in Tennessee all of my life. Currently, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I will say new blogger, but I've been working on it for some years now. I love chocolate. People need to know that about me first off. And I love elephants just because I'm a Delta. So, but I'm just out here just trying to be the best person that God wants me to be. I'm a wife to a pastor. Been married for going on 11 years to, we call him Marcus K. And he's a hot trip, but I love him to death. And so we were blessed to have planted a church here in Columbia, Tennessee. I think, and that was 6 years ago. So I'm his unpaid assistant most days at the church. So that's just a little bit about me. And I just love good food and good conversation.
Awesome. Well, welcome, First Lady, from another First Lady.
All right. Well, you know what my job is then.
Yeah, I know. And we didn't even talk about that when we offline. That's a whole nother conversation.
Oh my God. That is a whole nother podcast. Yes, Lord have mercy.
Yes. So yeah, we can chat about that offline. But take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us your loss story.
All right. Well, my story pretty much starts, I would say, 6 years ago. And I think that I was originally like most women that are trying to be first-time moms and maybe just thinking that the process was going to be easy, that when I wanted to get pregnant, I was going to get pregnant and I would have my child 9 months later. So I'm the type of person that I just map out my life. You know, sometimes I do that without consenting God. That's another story as well. But my story, it didn't go as planned. And so in January 2012, me and my husband, we tried for a few months until I did get pregnant back in April of 2012. And we were excited. You know, I peed on about 5 sticks. I got a clear blue that said pregnant and not pregnant, you know, so I could read it clearly. And we were just excited. And then about 6 weeks later, just going to a doctor's appointment, and my mom was with me. And we went in, and the doctor was talking to me. I was supposed to be 12 weeks at that time. And she just kept talking to me, and I just knew that something was wrong. And then that was the first time in June of 2012 that the doctor had informed me and my mom that I had had a missed miscarriage. And what was interesting about that, you know, the doctor was very compassionate and sad, and, you know, I could see the sadness on my mom's face, but I was kind of just in shock. And just numb probably would be better to say that. And after I received that news and they told me what my options were, probably 15 minutes later, I went to work. And then as we started telling people that I had a miscarriage, I would tell people I had a miscarriage and I don't want to talk about it. I would say that in text message, or I would tell my mom or my husband to relay that message to people. I just pretty much shut myself off from that. But at the same time, I tried to keep busy with work and just different activities. And so one of the things that people would tell me after the first miscarriage is that a lot of people have, you know, one miscarriage and then they go on to have babies. And so, you know, I started to believe that maybe this was just a fluke or something like that. So we did try again in 2012, in around December 2012. But at that point, my heart was guarded. I mean, went into the doctor. Again, I had a very compassionate doctor, and she was hopeful for me, but I was just scared. And around January of 2013, they informed me again that I had a second miscarriage. And so, again, numbness continued to flow on me. You know, if we had told anybody we were pregnant at that time, I gave them the same message. Hey, we had a miscarriage and I don't want to talk about it. And so the remainder of 2013, we tried, but we couldn't get pregnant. And then we come to 2014. And in 2014, we tried, it was my 30th birthday year, so we did decide to try again. And I remember that I was pregnant around February of 2014. And going into March of that year, it was my birthday month, actually. And I remember saying, I'm not going to the doctor because I want to have a great birthday. You know, I'm reluctant to be positive, but I just want to get the news afterwards. And sure enough, 4 days after my birthday, they informed me of the third miscarriage. The fourth miscarriage came in June or July of 2014. And at that point, my doctor honestly probably was no longer optimistic, but just started talking about other options for me, such as fertility clinics or, you know, adoption or just different things that we could do. But she was a little leery because I was having recurrent pregnancy loss, going through tests, and tests were coming back normal, but they couldn't find anything wrong. And so it was around the fourth miscarriage that I really began to break, because the first 4 miscarriages, like I said, I told people, you know, hey, I had a miscarriage, and that's if I did tell anybody, but I don't want to talk about it. And so, you know, I began to build an extra wall around me, an extra shell around me. But the fourth time, just something happened to where I couldn't handle it anymore. And some of that could have been, you know, I was seeing my friends, more friends become pregnant, and they were not having the issues that I was having. But I always explain to people, honestly, I became like Incredible Hulk. I remember one time we had a landscaper come and I was just in a funk, and he came to the door and I was having my mood. I was throwing things, and I know I scared him. He backed away from the door, and we have not seen him since 2014. So, but in 2014, I realized that with the recurring pregnancy loss that I was having, I wasn't dealing with it effectively. And at that point is when I started counseling to try to help me heal with that and even heal, you know, repair my relationship with myself, but just with God too, because I was upset with him, you know, because I knew he had power to provide me with a child, you know, and to get me past 8 or 12 weeks. And that didn't happen. But I thank God for counseling and for Christian counselors. 2015, 2016, we were back at it again. I got pregnant in October 2015. And, you know, by December, I had made it past 9 weeks, the first time I'd ever did that. And so we were excited. We were still anxious and did not tell a lot of people. But when I made it to about 15, 18 weeks, we felt like we were safe. And so around that time, it was early March 2016. And so we shared the news with our church family, with our immediate family, and we were just, you know, getting ready to welcome the baby. We had picked out a name, Mackenzie Cadence. And so we were excited. We thought this was the baby that God was going to allow us to raise. But at my normal checkup, the nurse started asking me, you know, some questions that I was giving her the answer yes to. And some of those were, you know, are you having like just horrible headaches? And I had to say yes. And was I not peeing as much? Having much urine come out? And I was like, yes. And my blood pressure was going, you know, to 180 and 200. And that's when they informed me, you are having symptoms of preeclampsia, which then turned into severe preeclampsia. And then within 24 to 48 hours, they told me that I was going to have to deliver a 21-week baby. And so we did that. We went through that process again. When we had Mackenzie, it was just a whirlwind at that time, because they were also checking my husband for to make sure that he didn't have throat cancer. So we had to deal with that because he had surgery the same week that I delivered Mackenzie. And so again, it was, my nature is to be strong for everybody else and then deal with my emotions later. But I thank God again that I went through counseling, because I grieved for my baby, but I was able to have some peace in knowing that God had her. But, you know, after that time, again, it was just beginning to wonder if I'm ever going to see, you know, or be able to raise a child here on earth. And so we had Mackenzie March 2016. We did try again in around October 2016, got pregnant, but on Christmas of 2016, I began to pass some really big clots. And 2 days later, they told me that was miscarriage number 6. And then miscarriage number 7 came in, that was, that was September 2017. I'm sorry, I had to think about it because we've had so many losses. And that was actually right after my mother had passed. And again, we had went to the doctors. They did all kinds of tests. They checked my pituitary to see if I had endometriosis. Nothing came back abnormal. You know, it was just no reason as why I was having recurrent pregnancy loss. But we did try again, and through the grace of God, we were able to welcome our rainbow baby, Grayson, this year of July 2018. But the road has been long, you know, and definitely filled with disappointment, you know, just being scared, being numb, and just, again, I had to grow and learn some things about me and learn to better communicate with others. The place that I was when I had that fourth miscarriage was a very, very dark place. And I'll often tell people it's a place that I never want to go back to. So I'm so grateful that counseling came along. I'm grateful for just prayer warriors. Like, even when I couldn't pray for myself, you know, there were other people around me, you know, and then I'm just, you know, I'm grateful for the woman that I have become and just trying to be and even getting to where I am now.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. So throughout all of the losses, I know you said that after your fourth loss, you got into therapy, but how really did therapy and your faith play a role in the subsequent losses? Because up until you started going to therapy, you know, you said you had gotten to a really dark place. So how did you manage and how did your faith play a role and God carry you through that fifth, that sixth, that seventh loss up until you got pregnant and then through an entire pregnancy with your rainbow baby? So take us back on that part of your journey.
Just how therapy helped me. It helped me, again, after the fourth miscarriage, I could just feel like something is broken. You know, I'm angry all the time. I'm not a person that I would want to be around. And with the therapy, what I find with, just to be honest, with Black women is that we are strong women, but sometimes we have a hard time communicating our feelings and our emotions, even with the people that we claim to be close to us. And that's part of it, is just a mechanism of being a strong and independent woman. But in therapy, I was able to let go, that I could be vulnerable and not feel judged. You know, I could be truthful about how I felt. Because sometimes with outside of therapy and talking with individuals that may not be used to someone that's had multiple miscarriages or any type of pregnancy or infant loss, it could seem like they don't want to listen to you, or they kind of want to move about their day, or it's an uncomfortable subject for them. So having therapy allowed me for the first time just to deal not only with what I was going through as a mama to angel babies, but just being able to freely talk about emotion and not feel like somebody was going to judge me for that or say that I was wrong for that. Or, you know, at that point, I was at a state where I didn't want to be friends with God, to be honest. And I could say that in a closed environment, in a safe environment. And as I mentioned before, being a pastor's wife, you know, sometimes people may think that you have it all together, or that you have all this faith in the world, or it's like you got extra faith locked up in a closet and you're just as human as anyone else. But therapy, little by little, and I was going, at some points I was going weekly, but it's just kind of like a snowball. It just gave me an outlet, whether I was having a good day or a bad day, to talk about my feelings and to know that it was okay. And I thank God that I had a Christian counselor, you know, at that time. And then, you know, even in our darkest moments, I think that if you are a true believer, sometimes you just, faith will not die in you. And that's what was happening to me. It just would not die. Even if I wanted to lay it down, it was still there. And the hope was still there, you know, and God would just provide encouragement through different people, different books, that I was able to, you know, be able to make it over. So when I had Mackenzie, you know, people are always amazed that I didn't end up in a crazy house, to be honest, because that was my fifth pregnancy loss. But again, just God had prepared me not only with those four miscarriages, but allow me to go through therapy and to share my feelings and to be able to talk to him. Whether I was mad at him or not, I was still able to talk to God. That by the time that Mackenzie came along, I, honest to God, I had a peace. Do I hurt sometimes, and do I wish that, you know, my babies were here? Yes, but he just let me know, you know, that everything that was going to be all right. And thank God, too, for my husband as well. You know, just in my darkest moments, he was a bright light.
Join me and my sisters-in-law in the DMV on Saturday, April 13th, 2019 at 11 a.m. at Bus Boys and Poets Tacoma at our annual sisters-in-law brunch. While dining on traditional brunch classics and mimosas, our sisters will enjoy a powerful keynote speaker, a live podcast panel discussion featuring three local organizational founders, where we'll be discussing the topics of maternal and infant mortality outcomes for Black women and supporting Black women through miscarriage, pregnancy loss, and infertility. There will be fellowship, swag bags, and so much more. To secure your ticket, go to sistersinlawsbrunch.com. Once again, that is sistersinlawsbrunch.com. I cannot wait to see all my sisters in the DMV on Saturday, April 13th.
Awesome. Absolutely. So let's talk about your pregnancy with your rainbow baby. Tell us about how that pregnancy went. Was there any complication? Did you have any anxiety, any fears? Tell us about that pregnancy journey.
Oh, man. Yes, definitely some anxiety and some short prayers to God. And so, as I mentioned before, the seventh pregnancy loss was in September of 2017. And in my mind, you know, I really thought that we were going to have to look at some other options, you know, such as adoption or surrogacy or something. And we still actually hope to adopt one day in the future. But my husband was like, you know, let's just give it a try one more time. And we did. But honestly, to this day, we can't even tell you when we conceived. But when we figured out that we was pregnant, it was around December of 2017. And I will be honest, I'm still not a fan of going to the doctor when you have multiple losses like that. You hate the doctor's office. So I refused to go to the doctor. I was just going to hang out with my little pregnancy test stick and go from there. But once the pregnancy test confirmed it in December, probably a couple of days later, I had a massive clot. And I didn't go to the doctor, but I was, again, anxious because I usually don't go to the doctor now unless I feel like I'm over 3 months along. But we made it through December. And again, I just felt so I wouldn't be anxious. I did wait to go to the doctor, but I was in therapy that whole time as well. And so I remember in February of 2018, it was the day before Valentine's Day, I finally mustered enough courage to go to the doctor and let them do an ultrasound. And that's when they informed me that I was 17 weeks at that time. And so I was praising God because I thought I was less than that. But also realized that this pregnancy was running the same course or same due date as Mackenzie, my fifth pregnancy loss. And so that did bring on some double anxiety. You know, again, I stayed in counseling. And for a short period, I did take some medication for anxiety. And I just want to let people know there's definitely nothing wrong with counseling and even prescribed medication if that's what you need to get through. And so we honestly did not tell anybody that I was pregnant until I was over 6 or 7 months. Now, I will tell you, I probably looked pregnant. I was in denial that I didn't look pregnant. But when I look back at the pictures, I definitely looked like I was. But we did not tell anyone until about Mother's Day. And so people were rejoicing with us. And, you know, each week I had to start going to the doctor probably weekly around the end of April, just because now they obviously consider me high risk. I do suffer from high blood pressure due to the preeclampsia. And so I went to the doctor every week, but it was just a point that I did not become anxious anymore. And that was even before we told everybody. I think God was just giving me a little bit more faith, and a little bit more confidence with each week that I was going to the doctor. And again, we had some great women that was assisting me along the way, great medical staff. So I thank him for that as well. And so again, I made it to 38 weeks. And that last doctor's appointment, they saw some things that kind of concerned them. You know, they kind of checked to see if I do some stress tests, make sure the heart's good. And they didn't see her breathing as much as they wanted to. So that sent me in the hospital a couple of weeks before my scheduled induction. So 36 hours later and a C-section later, little Miss Grayson came and graced us with her presence, all 6 pounds and 14 ounces of her. And we are still in shock till this day, 3 months later. She was born on July the 15th. So again, what really helped me as far as keeping the anxiety down at bay, some short prayers to God, like, you know, God, I'm scared, you know, God, I'm worried. Those were things that I would say sometimes, you know, the counseling, again, that helped me as well. My husband, and then honestly, not telling people until about the 6th or 7th month really helped me, even though people would question me and I just act like I didn't know what they were talking about. Even though I looked pregnant, it just, again, allowed me to just keep thoughts to myself and brought some peace to me. And, you know, again, God has blessed us with that. And I'm just so thankful now that I'm able to share I was sharing my story before, but I hope that it does give hope to women that may be going through recurrent pregnancy loss or suffered with preeclampsia, that there can be a rainbow, you know, in sight. And even in those seasons of weight, that we still can make it through that.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. So let's talk about your relationship. So how did you and your husband grieve? Did you grieve differently? And then how did you all really come together as a couple after your losses?
I would definitely say we have grown stronger because of the losses, but it took some time. Within the, I would say the first 4 losses, we did not communicate well. And some of that was definitely on me. Again, I honestly didn't know how to communicate or even to grieve. So the first 4 miscarriages, I felt like we definitely did not talk about it, you know, a lot. It would just be every now and then. But with Mackenzie, our 5th loss, that was different because he had to plan a funeral without me, basically, because I was still in the hospital. And so he had to deal with funeral directors and, you know, arrangements and stuff. And we were further, that was the furthest that we had been and had been hopeful to be bringing a baby home and wasn't able to do that. So we still grieve differently, but we communicate about the grief. And again, I think what helped him was planning the funeral of our child. And so the way that he grieved, he was trying to take care of me in the beginning, you know, or just keep quiet or didn't want to talk about it. But now he is able to talk about it. He will bring Mackenzie up. If you see him to this day, he has a dog tag that has Mackenzie's name on it. And so if, you know, he does a lot of speaking engagements as well. And so we have to make sure that we have Mackenzie's name in his bio. And so he is just a proud dad. And that's the way that he grieves. And for me, again, wasn't a lovey-dovey person in the beginning, but he just allowed me to grieve the way that I needed to. He supported me in counseling. You know, he supported me at the point where I decided to take anxiety medication, you know, and so his support was important. And then just whenever I'm feeling sad or he's feeling sad, we know now that we can talk to each other about it. But it's just, I think even for just any couple, it's just important, no matter what you're feeling, that you get it out. And even if that's not verbally, you know, if you can write it down, it's going to be so important. And then what I had to realize is that it was just not me grieving, because a lot of times I did internalize it, and it was, miscarriages were just happening to me. Losses were just happening to me, but they were happening to him too. And he had to help me to realize that, and to realize that he had changed because of the losses that we had. But I can definitely say that our relationship is stronger now, just because we are able to express how we're feeling, you know, and that the losses did affect us.
Awesome. So how has your self-care been after loss? Now that you are a mom to your rainbow baby, a mom again to your rainbow baby, how is your self-care now as a new mom and navigating this world of balancing motherhood, ministry, and everything else?
You are. Yes. Yes. Motherhood and ministry, Lord. But, you know, even though I'm at home right now or in a season of just writing, what has definitely helped me is just taking breaks. Like, so I'm so grateful for a friend that we don't have any family currently where we live, but we have a good friend. And so Tuesdays and Thursdays, I faithfully take little Grayson to visit with her, and I have my me time. And that is so important, you know, because we may feel, even as stay at home mom, or, you know, you're working, a working mom, and when you have your time with your baby, you feel like, you know, I should cherish this time, especially after losses, and feel like you can do it all the time. But I learned very quickly within a month that I needed mommy time, and to do the things that I wanted to do and needed to do. And when I get back from the breaks, I am so energized from that. So I encourage everybody, please make sure you get a break when you can. And so I'm on my 3-month hiatus from, you know, well, I'm not going back to work, but I was just taking care of myself. But I haven't done counseling these last 3 months, but I'm getting right back in it, because I just feel like it's important to share, and it's important to have that outlet where you feel safe. And one thing that's interesting that my husband and I and a few close friends had to deal with, because again, Grayson, her due date was the same as Mackenzie's, like they were week to week. So within the first month, we would sometimes call Grayson Mackenzie. And so that was, I'm not going to say that it was a challenge for us, but it was something that we were not expecting. And so it was another way, another grief issue that we had to deal with. Like, we were rejoicing for Grayson, but we also definitely remembered our other pregnancy losses, but in particular, Mackenzie. And so we're still, you know, we're only 3 months in with Grayson, and we're still navigating that. And sometimes, you know, I think like what it would have been like to have all of my babies here, and what Mackenzie and Grayson favor, and those types of things. But even when I think about that, I'm not sad. I wonder, but I'm still at peace, you know, that God continues to have my baby. And now my mother is in heaven, and I know that she has them as well. So basically, take your mommy breaks, continue to communicate. And I can still be an overachiever, but I try to remember at the end of the day, the things that I accomplished. And I'm thankful for the things that I do get done. And I'm a checklist girl. So if I can check some things off, that makes me happy too. So I'm just going to continue to grow and take my mommy breaks.
Awesome. So what are some resources or tools that you use to help you on your healing journey?
So journaling is definitely something that was important for me that I still do. So I would encourage anybody, you know, to get you a journal. It could just be a notebook, or if you want something fancy smancy, you could do that too. But in those journals, you know, I just was able to be honest with my emotions and my feelings, you know, towards my miscarriages, or how I felt when other people were bringing home babies and I wasn't able to, how my relationship with God, I was able to talk to God, you know, if I was mad at God that day, or, you know, I was in love with God another day, I was just able to be me and be honest. So I'm thankful for a good pen and a good journal. Again, just, I'm an advocate for counseling. If anybody gets anything out of this interview, they're going to know that counseling is an option. And then one book that helped me in particular was a book called God Is Just Not Fair by Jennifer Rothschild. And so that book just, it just laid some things down for me and really helped me, I would say, in my lowest point in trying to understand what God was doing. And so it helped me to realize it wasn't that I didn't, again, believe God or didn't know that God was powerful, but he's still a just God, and that fairness is subjective, you know, and God doesn't necessarily deal with fairness. But I really encourage anybody, if you are really having a tough time in your relationship with God, or just with going through recurrent miscarriages or any type of pregnancy loss, that would be something that I would do. And I am, again, I'm beginning to blog more. And I recently did a blog for an organization called Share. And it is, it helps women deal with pregnancy and infant loss. And I talk about going to different events. Especially since this is Pregnancy and Loss Awareness Month, the month of October, I went to a walk probably 3 years ago, and it totally changed my life. You know, just to see other women honoring their angel babies, that meant so much to me and just helped me, again, break down those walls that we kind of maybe put up when we are hit with trauma or tragedy. So I would encourage anybody to, if you can find a remembrance walk or a pregnancy and infant loss awareness walk or run or event, that's something to go to, because I did go to a couple of those as well. And it was just awesome.
Awesome. So what encouraging words can you leave the mom that's out there who has had recurrent pregnancy loss and are still trying to get pregnant with their rainbow baby?
First of all, I just want to say that I love you and God loves you too. And it may not feel like it. There's going to be a lot of days where it doesn't feel like it. And if you are anything like me and in the beginning and you were scared to share, ashamed to share, it's okay. But you're going to need to do that. I encourage you to do that. Find one friend, your husband, or even seek professional help, because in order to heal from the losses, to even heal from, you know, a broken relationship or fellowship with God, you're going to have to get it out, and you deserve to be able to get it out. And so, and I want you to do that. And even in your season of wait, you can hold your head up high, and you're still a mother. No matter or regardless of what anybody says, you're still a mother, and you should honor your child any and every way that you want to.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shannon, for sharing your story and your light. So where can we find you on social?
All right. So I am technologically challenged, but I have found myself on Facebook and Instagram mostly. And if you do @SavingShannonD, you should be able to find me. And I'm also, again, I use writing as a release. So I've started writing again on my blog, and it's SavingShannon.net. And again, it's just where I just share about my faith and what I'm learning and some things about, you know, just my pregnancy losses as well.
Awesome. Thank you again, Shannon, for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you. And again, if I cannot sing Sisters in Loss praises enough, you know, I just pray God continues to bless you and what you're doing. And I just hope you know how much you're impacting people like me that just need this.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I pray that this show was inspirational and a blessing to you. For show notes, visit ericaandmcafee.com/podcast. Please join us in our offline discussions and our private Facebook group by going to sistersinloss.com. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, please rate and subscribe to us and leave us a 5-star review. I pray that you all have a blessed week. Keep the faith, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday.